So thank you, first of all, for so many of you who welcomed Susan and I back this morning. We've been gone for 2 weeks. We were on a Mediterranean cruise, hanging out in the Mediterranean. That's kind of a pretty sweet deal, right? We got to see beautiful things and experience really amazing things. And one of the things that happened, our kids did not go, so that made the trip awesome. It was really good. They were great here. But one of the things that happened, the night before we were supposed to leave for our trip, my dad was painting really, really high, and he fell off a ladder. And he broke his shoulder and his arm and big gash in his head. And my mom called and she said, "Hey, I don't think we're going to be able to make it to get there." She said, "I don't know when we'll get there. We'll get there eventually, but I don't think we're going to get to make it." And to make a really long story short, my dad is fine. That's the really good news. He's fine and he's recovering, and there was no major thing that happened. But what was really beautiful was within about an hour, because of our community, Susan had people that would take our kids for the entire time that we were gone. So 12 days we were going to be gone, and there were people in our family and friends and in our neighborhood who said, "We've got this, go." So we left Friday not knowing exactly where our kids were going to be for 12 days. And it was a little crazy, but it was beautiful. We saw really amazing things. It was great to be with family in Europe as well. And I would say the biggest thing that I gained from it is that it's really important to take time away. Susan and I had not done a trip over any length of time since our 5-year anniversary, and we've been married almost 14 years. So it was really good to take that time and get away. We kind of had to figure out what that looks like again, right? How do you do that together? But it was really, really good. So I just wanted to say thank you for welcoming us back. And I'm so grateful to be part of a community that just says, "We got this, go." I mean, so many people sent us messages as they heard and said, "Don't worry about it, the kids will be fine." And they were fine. We came back, they had gone to school, they had eaten. I mean, it was all good. My parents did eventually get there. It was all good. So today we're starting a new sermon series. We're jumping into a new sermon series. And we do sermon series here that last anywhere from 3 to 6 weeks. We try to take a topic and go deeper and deeper. And this series is called Strong Living. And it hit me back a while ago that we talk a lot about God and our relationship with God, and we talk a lot about our community and things that we want to do in the community. But the thing that I want to encourage us in, and I want us to think about, is how do we live life in such a way that gives us life, that gives us energy, that doesn't suck energy out of us? It is easy living in Northern Virginia to have energy sucked out of you. Would you agree? It's easy when we go to work each and every day in our relationships to have energy sucked out of us. And it hit me as I was thinking about our lives that God gives us these really incredible gifts. God gives us these things. God gives us these abilities, these talents, these resources. And those resources should be used in such a way that they give us life, not that they suck life out of us. Too often, the resources that we have end up sucking life out of us. So I want us to think a little bit over these next few weeks about what are our gifts, what are the things that we've been given, and how do we use them to bring us life? How do we use them to bring us energy, to bring us joy? Today, we're going to talk specifically about discovering our strengths. What are strengths? What are those things that are unique to you, that you bring to the conversation, that you bring to life? What are those things that people around you, when you walk in, know, "Oh, well, I'm so glad so-and-so's here because they're bringing this"? Those things that when you do them, they give you life. Now, some people have found that in their job. I talk to some people, this is very rare, but I talk to people who go, "I love going to work. Because when I get to work, I get to do the things that give me life. I get up and I can't wait to get there in the morning. I get there and the first thing I walk in, I'm like, I'm excited about this because this is something I do well." And then after that, you go to lunch and you're like, "Man, I wish lunch hadn't come so soon because this was so fun." And then you go to afternoon and afternoon was so good. And you're like, "This is so great." Now, unfortunately, that's not most people that I meet. Most people that I meet don't go, "I just hate Fridays. I love Sunday nights because that means Monday's coming tomorrow." Most people I meet say, "Hey, I go to a job. I spend 8 hours a day, maybe 9, maybe 10, maybe 11. And I go because that's what you have to do. But the truth is, it doesn't give me energy. It doesn't give me life. I work with people that suck the life out of me. I do things that are mundane, or I do things that I don't know what I'm doing and are too hard. And many people spend a lot of their life in their job doing things that don't give them any life. And how does that live, and how does that correspond with where Jesus says, I came to give you life? Do you realize how much time in our lives we spend at work? I mean, for many of us, it's over half of our waking day. And we come home and we're like, well, I'm glad that's over. I'm glad I get to go do something different. Now, some people, they have found it in the church, right? They come and they do their roles and they do things that give them life, and they can't wait until Sunday comes or until their life group comes on Monday or until we have trunk or treat or until this comes. And they say, I love doing these things with the church because I'm not getting it in work. And when I get to do it with the church, I'm using who I really am. But friends, I have to tell you, that is not the case with most people. Most people come to me and they wait until things get really bad. And maybe they stop showing up for a few weeks. And I call and I go, hey, what's going on? And they go, well, I just really hate what I was doing there. I hate my volunteer service. It was too much for me. It wasn't using my gifts. Instead of us just going, let's figure out what our strengths are and use them everywhere we are. Because friends, when we do that, when we use our strengths, when we use our gifts, that's when we have life. That's when we're living into that place where it fits like a glove and we're like, this is me. I was hearing this weekend about this company that rewards people for living into their strength. And the way that they do that is when they do their annual reviews, they ask two questions. What do you do here that you really love, and what are you not doing that you would like to do? And when it comes to review time, guess what they're reviewed on? How much time they were spending doing the things that they love, and how many more things they took on that they liked to do and let go of the things that they didn't like to do. What sort of work environment would that be? I mean, nobody'd take out the trash, but other than that, like, it'd be really, really good, right? To live into a place where we get to discover and do the things that we do really, really well. Friends, I think it is so important that we figure this out. I think it's important that we figure out what our strengths are, and I think it's important that we start to live into them. Now, to get into this morning, I want to take a look at Paul's letter to the Romans. And if you don't know who Paul was a missionary, which means he was a guy that went around spreading the church. First, he spread a lot of hatred for the concept of the church, and then he had this moment of change and transformation in his life. And he started going around talking to these different communities about what the church could be where they are, how to live in to being the church. And he constantly was pushing them on this idea of figure out your strengths. Who are you, and what do you do really well as a global community and as individuals? And live into that, because that's going to give you life. So I want to look this morning at Romans chapter 12, a letter he wrote to the people of Rome, starting in verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. And individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. So he seems to be telling them there's a lot of different things that you can do. Do you. Right? That's a phrase my older sister often says. She's not very judgmental, because whatever's going on in people's lives, she'll look at them and she'll go, just do you. Whoever you is, do you. And that seems to be what Paul is trying to get to. In the three chapters before this, though, it's really interesting. In each space, he spends time and he lays out, first of all, God's relationship with humanity. What is God to human? That's the first thing he lays out. And then he goes on and he gives this big, long conversation that lines up with what Jesus says that he came for, and he calls humanity to actually live. He says, not only does God love you, but God wants you to live. God wants you to have life. And then he talks about how much humanity resists that call that God gives to life and how we do all these things that aren't life-giving to us. That might resonate with you today. And then he goes on to talk about how we have the ability to return to God even after we resist God. So he goes through all of that up to these chapters getting up. He goes, hey, humanity, God loves you. Humanity, you resist God and you do the things that don't give you life. And humanity, God still loves you and you can return to God and actually do things that give you life. In this passage, Paul is calling this community, and I think ultimately us, to offer our bodies as a gift to God. Paul's saying, God has given you these things. So use them. Do them in a way that brings you life, but do them in a way that honors God. Let your words match up with your actions. Let your life match up with the things that God has given you. It is faith in God that leads to living a life that others can experience God as we reflect God throughout the community. Now, it's interesting because he begins with something in the beginning of this that I think is fascinating. He says, be humble and don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought to. Isn't that interesting when he's talking to them about gifts? Right? Don't think you're so good. Don't think you have it all together. You're not the only person in the world with this gift, and you're not the best person in the world with this gift. And don't think that your gift is more important than your gift, and your gift is more important than your gift. That your strength is better than your strength. But know that we've all got them. That they're all important. That they all matter. And then he goes on to talk about something that I found interesting that I've passed over before, and he talks about how God has given a measure of faith. That's one of the strengths and the gifts that's given, that there's this measure of faith. And what I read that to be as I studied and I learned more is that for some people, faith comes more naturally. For some people, I don't know if you've met them, there are people that it doesn't matter what goes on in their lives, they're just like, I get it. I believe it. And for some people, it comes much harder. For some people, it's more difficult. For some people, they may have every single thing hit them in the face and they just go, I can't believe it. I can't put my faith there. But Paul makes a very important note in the beginning as he's talking about all these other gifts and strengths to say, faith is one of those. Realize that believing in God is not natural for everybody. And I think that's his point that he hits on here. Some God has given an extra measure of faith. And then he goes on to this imagery of the human body, which I've seen before in Scripture, but I started thinking about it this week. Do you realize how powerful this imagery is and how powerful the human body is? I mean, the human body is this crazy, amazing thing. A basic anatomy class will tell you about all the intricate parts that work together. About the miles and miles and miles of blood vessels that are going on, the trillions of cells, the 78 different organs. I didn't know I had 78 different organs going on. And the way that they all work together and the importance of having them integrated. When one of your organs doesn't work, guess what? Every other one knows about it. You feel it, you sense it. Now, this hit me really big recently. Before we went on our trip, I had gone for a run. I was really proud of myself. It was a long run. It was a good run. And I came back and I was feeling really good. And I sat on the couch and I was like, I'd taken a shower. Don't worry. I sat on the couch and that felt good. And then I got up and just stood up and I was like, oh. And then I was like, oh. Right? I instantly became a 100-year-old man in that moment. Like, seriously, I was like, oh. Oh, so I called Susan. I'm like, I've really done something bad. She's like, what's happened? I don't know. I'm in a lot of pain. And I went for like a week like this. Like I would get in a car and I would go to get out of the car and I was wincing in pain. And I thought I had done something really, really, really bad. So I finally set up an appointment a week later with my doctor. And I went to the doctor and the nurse comes in and he goes, so what did you do? Is it some cool story? And I was like, I got up off the couch. Like that happened. And he's like, that story sucks, man. That's really bad. So I said, okay. So the doctor comes in and she starts to lift my legs and she goes, uh-huh. And then she's doing something else. She goes, uh-huh. And she goes, okay. So I'm like, all right, this is going to be a big diagnosis. Like something really big is going on. She goes, you're not stretching enough. The bottoms of your legs are too tight. And she said, what you need to know is this is connected to this, is connected to this, is connected to this. And she said, the reason that you have back pain has nothing to do with your back. She said, it's because you're not taking care of the other part of your body. She said, you're not stretching enough, are you? I was like, well, no. She goes, how much are you running? I was like, yeah, I'm doing this. She goes, and you're not spending 15 minutes after your run stretching out? I was like, I spend a couple of minutes. She goes, you're not spending enough, and I can tell. Because your entire body is connected. Your entire body feels it when there's a part of the body that's broken. And I have to tell you, I stretch so much now. I watch all kinds of videos. I went and bought this Rolly thing. I don't even know what it is that you put on. I'm stretching like crazy. I'm like Gumby now, right? Pull me in any direction. Because I don't want that pain anymore. And I think that's Paul's point. That when one part of the body is not living into its strength, when one part is hurt, when one part is in pain, the entire rest of it feels it. And unfortunately, what happens is we often will attend to a piece that's not the piece that's hurt. We'll attend to the piece that's not living into its strength. We attend to the piece that we like, the piece that is strong. And what Paul is saying is every single piece matters. The church is only a real reflection to the world of who Christ is if we're all doing our piece, if we're all living into our strength. Y'all, Restoration Church cannot be the church to the community if we don't all bring our gifts, if we don't all discover them, if we don't all use them. So there are two pieces that I want to pull out this morning that I got from Paul's passage that I think are important. One is, if we don't figure out our strengths and live into them, we're never going to live into the life that Christ has called us to. We're never going to live into that potential. We're never going to find ourselves in a place where we're waking up every day going, I'm doing what I was called to do. And I'm not talking specifically about your vocation. I'm saying we're never going to be at a place we don't do that. The second thing is, the church will never reach its full potential if we don't all do our part. If the whole body is not doing it. That's the passage that he said from 12, 4 to 7, 8. I'm not going to reread it, but he says, you know, for the body has lots of different parts and every part matters. No piece is more important than the other. Every single piece matters. So I want to end this morning. How do we discover them? How do we find what our strengths are? How do we figure it out? There's lots of ways. I'm going to give you a couple. First, do an energy inventory. Think about your week. Think about everything that you do. What brings you energy when you do it? What brings you life? What gives you good feeling? What gives you excitement? What gives you joy? And I'm not talking about whether or not your 8 hours a day at work do. What pieces of that do? Is it when you're sitting alone quietly and crunching numbers in the back? Is it when you're out front and you're engaging people and connecting with people? Now, here's the problem with an energy inventory. I could look at Susan and say, doing dishes and laundry don't bring me any energy, honey. So those are now your things. Good luck. Congratulations. Friends, we do things that are not in our strengths as well. But if we're spending all of our time doing laundry, and that sucks all the life out of us, we need to think about how we're living into our strengths. So I want to encourage you, do an energy inventory. Actually write things down. What are you doing that is bringing you life? Here's the second thing. Ask other people. Ask people around you, what are my strengths? What are things that I do? Not that I do well, but what are things that I do that you say, oh, he lights up when he does that. She lights up when she does that. It brings her energy. It brings him energy. What are those things? And hey, identify these in your children or the children that you know as well. That's really, really important. I was talking with some folks this weekend about strengths, and I realized our educational system often goes after our kids' weaknesses, not after their strengths. And what if we started to look at our kids and push more on their strengths than on their weaknesses? Then they could live into who they were called to be. Here's the third thing. You can actually take what's called a spiritual gifts inventory assessment. You can take a quick little test, and I'm going to post one this week on the city. I'll put it on Facebook. You can take a little test. There's lots of different ones you can do, but you can take it, and it takes, I don't know, 10 or 15 minutes, and you'll find out these are the things that pop up for you, and you can start to live into those. Or you can take a much deeper dive. You can do what's called a strengths finder test. This is something that was done by Gallup. We're actually, as a church, going to push this really hard in January, but if you want to get a step on it, go take the test. It takes 10 bucks, takes about an hour. Go take it and find out what are your strengths. Y'all, I think this matters. I think this is important. I think it's important not just so that the church can get more done, but the title of this series is Strong Living. Too many people are exhausted and tired from doing things that don't give them life. What if we spent most of our life doing things that do? I think that's what we were created to do. I think that's what God wants for us. I think that's what God calls us to life and to live. I'm going to say a few words about Amy at the end, but I think Amy's one of those people who really seeks to live life in a way that brings her life. I was talking with our worship team, and we were planning as we were seeking before we hired Matt, and as we were seeking a new worship leader. And one of the things that I love so much about our worship team was I got to hear from them and hear why it brings them life to help lead worship, why that brings them energy and excitement. Find the thing that brings you life and live. Find the things that give you joy and step into them, even in the midst of your everyday jobs, even in the midst of your everyday life. Because I can promise you, if you do, you'll be living.